Before we begin, just a couple of quick announcements, requests. First is, I know my throat is misbehaving, but pay no attention to it. I am quite flooded with such beautiful care and gifts and parcels, but in my own humble way, I have found the best way to get rid of anything in life is by ignoring it. Pay only attention to where you want to be and what you want to, where you want to go. All the rest will come and go away like dust. So, if I cough, it's a test whether we can be concentrated on the talk or the cough. And beyond it, it has no other value. So, while with all, thank you for all the love and care, so much, even those who are outside, everything is mother's, and as I said, to ignore it, nature finds its way and cures. This is not an advice given to anybody except to myself, so please don't standardize it and say, well, this is the, for me it works, well, and when it doesn't work, even that is a grace of God. So everything is fine. All is good. Second is, there is a little notepad and a pen written, kept here. And please, on 28th February, there will be a session in Savitri Bhavan. It's the concluding session. So those who wish to go, because transport has to be arranged, they have to arrange snacks, so Savitri Bhavan team has requested. You can please give the names so that we know how many persons are there. So, on 28th February, concluding session will be at Savitri Bhavan. So, those who are desirous of going, may please put the names. There is a little chit pad and pen kept there. No Aadhaar copy required. Your name is good enough. Okay. So now we come to the real knot of the difficulty, which many would completely disregard it, that is matter, because even without grappling with this difficulty, there are a lot of possibilities. And that's what we read yesterday, that it's possible to lead a psychic life, an effulgent psychic life, through which, as the mother says, we can even have a glimpse of the supramental, the only door through which we can see. And she says people have this idea that through the mind, because it is mental and supramental, but between the mental and supramental there is a very huge gap. It's a leap. Many try it prematurely. There is a danger of becoming inframental. So that's why the safe route is through the psychic. That is the door to the universal. That is the door to the supramental. And so we read yesterday, imagine once one is identified with the psychic, one has glimpse of Narayana everywhere. All these experiences can come. One has many beautiful things. One is feeling, experiencing the constant shower of grace. All this is there. It's a beautiful psychic state. We see in Savitri described. And so many would say, it's okay then, what does it matter? Death is nothing. Actually, once you realize the psychic being, death makes no meaning. So why should one even fight against death? There is no death. It's true. And then one can even ascend to higher planes like the rishis. So psychic realizations makes one a saint, not saint the way saint is understood. Saints are very misunderstood fellows. But the operating system is the God within you. And then the higher consciousness also opens the doors. All this is possible without entering into the problem of matter. So why is Sri Aurobindo taking it up so seriously? Already these things have been done. He could just start another yoga, and we will see that there are even certain societies, and I won't name who is the founder and all that, who have actually started a divine life society, which has nothing to do with Sri Aurobindo. Integral yoga, again nothing to do with Sri Aurobindo. I was invited for one of the talks in Cape Town, and it's the same usual thing, but the name is integral yoga. So what is there in a name? You join the different paths, it becomes integral yoga. But what is special about this? Why these names, whatever people want to keep is their problem. Because it's true that at a certain level you feel that you are, after all the Gita says that the man who is living in God, Brahma Bhutam, he is full of the divine. Can there be something more required? And why should Sri Aurobindo worry about it, or rather care about it? That there comes the real problem. So individually one can live, it's possible, in an inner beatific state. But of course, always it will be hampered by the body. So yogis have generally found a very good meeting point. My soul is free. To an extent, my mind can soar into vast regions of light. My heart is filled with love for all creatures. Body is a perishable thing. To an extent, I'll try to handle it with whatever is known. The rest I'll hand over to the doctor who will take care. If it survives, fine. If it doesn't, it doesn't matter. This is an attitude which yogis have taken. Sounds good. When they leave, that force which they, or power they embodied, or the wisdom they embodied, they transmit to a few, but not all are ready even to receive that. Over a period of time, this gets diluted and becomes a religion. Religion is sometimes, you wonder, God is not there, everybody else is there. Like Bertrand Russell, when he was asked, or G.B. Shaw, how many Christians are there? He said there was one who was crucified. It is so true. The only Christian was crucified. Because over a period of time, the empty shell remains. And when there is an empty shell, which once was a seat of power, somebody was there who was holding that power inside, that power is gone. Shell also contained something, a tremendous formation which all kinds of forces want to occupy. And Sri Aurobindo says, this is what has happened to religions. And he doesn't want that to happen again, because this is the danger. Over a period of time, religions form, all kinds of celebrations take place, but nothing of permanent value has happened to earth. Some one step forward, little bit. So what is he trying? Sometimes we see a lineage. In India, there is not a one-man show, but a lineage of gurus, which after a line stops. So ultimately, if you see the lineage, it becomes weaker and weaker. Any lineage you see. Sikh Guru Nanak, and by the time you see, of course, he's a valiant warrior, Guru Gobind Singh Ji. But things change. And he himself said, ki now you don't need the Guru. Dasham Granth and this book is your Guru. He says, because he understands. Avatars generally don't leave a lineage, because they know nobody can contain this tremendous power. So what is it? Why? This is what Sri Aurobindo is trying to resolve. Because great beings come, they open the door, few can rise, few can escape, but the rest, masses linger on, and there is no permanent remedy to the problem of earth. So what is the remedy? If the divine consciousness which is hidden inside can be permanently established in earthly life, it's the difference is like somebody going all the way like Bhima. Draupadi asks him, please get me Brahma Kamal. And poor fellow, he is, you know, on the way, humbled by Hanuman. And then finally he returns. It was a very interesting thing. So one is somebody going, getting Brahma Kamal, getting it all the way. You make a slideshow on Brahma Kamal or sends a picture. And the other is you make this soil so fertile that you have Brahma Kamal growing everywhere. So permanently establishing the supramental. Again, this supramental consciousness is the divine consciousness. But what is the difference between Sachidanand Brahm and the supramental? If one has to, mind needs all these explanations. So Sachidanand is one without a second, ekameva dvitiyam. But the moment Sachidanand takes this or is seized by this impulse, divine impulse, ekoham bahushyam, I am one without a second, but I want second, third, fourth, fifth, infinity. He is infinite. One who wants to become many, then he enters into supramental mode. So supermind is the creator aspect of the same Sachidananda. And then of course the creation process starts, all that we have read. So he is himself at stake in this universe, in this creation. And it's not just about realizing Sachidananda, which can be realized in several ways, but establishing this creator aspect completely in earth nature. So people will again, but creator is already there, but he is acting through veils. And you know what happens when, you know, the divine acts through veils, or anybody. One of the things one learns, that don't believe in what you have heard, first level. Why? Because by the time the thing comes to you, it's already distorted. Somebody said something to somebody, and somebody said something to another buddy, another buddy said something to anybody. Someone probably made a remark that this fellow, you know, I don't quite like him. By the time it reaches, you know, he wanted to slap you and give you black and blue. That's how it comes. That's the degree of distortion that takes place. Just about 10 people you need in between, or 9. So imagine, between the creator, he has to veil himself and act through veils, because directly if he enters into creation, there will be no creation. That's where comes the problem of matter. Anything he brings out of itself, imagine a tremendous magnet, and you put a little iron out of the magnet, take a little piece and put it here. What will happen? Before you can realize, it's gone back to the magnet. So what do you have to do? North pole, south pole. Almost you have to create something which repels, and it has to go so far, so far. It will still be attracted. You can't help it. Even if you put the iron filing in the farthest end of the universe, still it will have some kind of, somewhere indirectly, some force is acting over it. But at least it will be there for some time. It will have to journey a long way. So first thing is, because of the creation of individuality, the individuals, which is not possible if he just immediately engages in creation. That we will read more and more as we go through the chapters. Why? Because bahushyam, he doesn't want to only manifest himself as a cosmic being, but also as individual being, the triple status of manifestation. So this is one part. To create an individuality, parents have to send the child away. No child can grow into an individual if he is all the time clutching at parents. He has to come out of that influence. Otherwise, they will try to make him a replica or a copy. Even the best of parents, with the best of intention, they believe somehow that we are the best. So they have to move out. Then they face the challenge of life. They face their whole thing, and then they grow. Then they come back. They may have a different evaluation about the parent then. But it is a journey. So to veil of ignorance, so that we forget what is our origin, and that ignorance ultimately leads to the complete forgetfulness, which is where inconscience and matter emerges from that. Now, creator has acted through veils, and evolution has gone to a point where Sri Aurobindo says, now at least there can be few individuals, bodies, in whom the creator can act directly without the veils. Normally he comes, acts through the mind, through the heart, or deep within. In trance you can access him, in deep meditation. Now if he acts directly on the physical substance, then only there is a chance of leading a divine life in a divine body. Second, if that consciousness is established in matter, directly matter is coming under its contact, then there is a possibility that by its presence it will slowly transmute earthly life little by little without the need of any more avatars or saints or sages. Simply one has to open to that influence. It will itself pick up. Mother gives a very interesting example of how the supermind, which is active upon earth, is picking up those who are ready. So there is the experience of this supramental ship. So she says, when I saw it, at the end of it, I was laughing uncontrollably. Imagine, for 2 hours I was laughing uncontrollably. And she says, there were beings who were seeing who is ready to go to the other side, ready for the transformation, and who is not. And then she says something very interesting. She says, I found that the criteria is not moral but psychological. So the criteria, who is ready, is not based on a set of do's and don'ts. Thankfully, God is not a schoolmaster who is ticking checklist. Oh, this fellow did so many rites. On based on whose conception? Your own conception. Mother says from childhood, she had this experience of beyond good and evil. And she would experience this light. And says this light is so powerful that anything that comes in contact with it gets changed. She says, I could be anywhere, everywhere, but would mix with nothing. Nothing would get mixed with it because that light is like that. And I was reminded when I was reading this aspect of the mother, two lines from Surdas. Paras, okay, the full line is, I'll say in Hindi. Ek loha puja me rakhat, ek ghar badik pado. It's a piece of iron which is kept in the thali of puja. Another piece which the butcher is using. Paras guna avguna nahi dekhat, kanchan karat kharo. So if you bring both of them to Paras, Paras will not say which one, it will touch it and change, regardless. So she says that the criteria was, they were seeing and scanning, it's like a MRI scan, God's MRI scan. You can't hide anything there. And they were seeing, there were people in whom there were patches of orange, patches of darkness, different shades, somewhere more orange, more ready. For some, those beings will say, go back. For others, come in. And this was not based on any outer criteria. So amazing. So what were they seeing? The substance. And that's where we come to matter. If the supramental consciousness is to be implanted in matter, so that for good we are freed from cults, sects, religions, ideologies, but earth itself, just like human, has evolved. So from childhood, a supramental child is conscious of the divine. We are using this word, which may not apply. Not that he has to with labor, painfully grow up, commit. Everybody has to commit their own series of mistakes or so-called mistakes. Parents call them mistakes. For children, they are steps. Then when they become parents, they again call it mistakes. But they are steps of the process. But it's a question that one raises, that why can't we be conscious of the only thing, reality? This is the problem. As we grow up, when we hear Ekam Evaditiyam, there is none else but second. No second except the one. So question is, we don't experience. So why is it so? There must be a reason and there must be a process. So Sri Aurobindo speaks about this. Once supermind is established in matter, the rest will be taken care of. So how does it get established? Two-way process. One is directly on matter. That's beyond our conception. That the mother spoke of the supramental manifestation of 29th February. The second is in an individual's body. Number of individuals, if they can contain, hold that supramental consciousness, force, light, then it gets transmitted and the evolution takes the next step. So that's why when people ask me, you came from Mahakumbh, so what? How do you describe Pondicherry? I say Pondicherry is Poorna Kumbh. Kumbh means a body. Kumbh is literally a body. It's a, you know, Kumbh is used. It's an analogy used for the body. Agni Riyathaiko, Bhuvanam Bravishto, Rupam Rupam Pratirupo. Even everybody has used, no? Matki, Matki Phut Gai. So Kumbh is the body. And while when you go to Mahakumbh, you are liberated. That means whatever is muck inside, that is cleansed. And the pure consciousness goes back. But here, you are perfected. That is a long process, obviously. It is very easy to break the matki and go away. But very difficult to go through the exacting, these are Sri Aurobindo's words, it's an exacting process. Transformation is not a magic miracle or sudden things, flashes, sudden revelation. All that may be there, but it's an exacting process. That's why Mahasaraswati is the last to come. And here we meet the paradox of the human body, which is what we'll read. Paradox is that everybody says that ultimately you have to take a human body to evolve. Naratan, ya Narka Chula, even gods have to take a human body to evolve. This is the saying. Even Tantra would say you have to go through how many, I don't know, latest was 84 lakhs or something like that. Census keeps changing. But last we read was, you know, new species keep adding, no? You can't, people are now manufacturing viruses, you can't discard them. So 84 lakhs yonis. Yoni is an interesting word. Born through the human process or through the sexual process. So probably it doesn't take into account amoebas and below. So all these yonis, there has to, the consciousness evolves through them to reach a point where it can liberate itself. Now imagine, such is the importance of the body. But on the other hand, we are also told that this body and its functioning cannot change. And it has led to very absurd kind of things. Like if you have blind at night, it is because of, you know, everything is God's will. Which is okay, that's a good attitude to take. But you have to also find, discover, why is it so? You may discover it's a vitamin A deficiency. So you see, there is a way to, that's why scientists have entered into the depths of matter like never else in the last 100 years. And this is one of the signs, Sri Aurobindo said, that the world is getting ready for the supramental. And if you look at their views now, they are coming so close to what Sri Aurobindo and the yogis have been saying. So, but first about the body. Body is so special. Sadhana is not done outside the body. You have to take a human body to do the sadhana. At the same time, body poses difficulty at every step. And Sri Aurobindo describes that in this chapter, matter. So matter is important. If you have to establish permanently direct action of the divine consciousness so that henceforth evolution can be not indirectly through the wrestle of the Titan and the gods, but directly matter under the influence of the divine, directly, then it has to be established. So matter, chapter 24, page 245, somewhere halfway down the page. The importance of the body is obvious. It is because he has developed or been given a body and brain capable of receiving and serving a progressive mental illumination that man has risen above the animals. So importance of brain also, he says, brain is the seat of consciousness. The seat of divine is in the heart. But consciousness in human beings, that's why we see when we look at the brain and the spinal cord, it's just like the kundalini. The entire rising up and the hooded serpent. Actually, if you see, even physically. So brain, that's why we know today, for example, people didn't know at some point of time, what is this area? They used to use the word silent area way back. Prefrontal cortex. What is the purpose it is serving? Now they are beginning to see, no, it is something where intuition, certain faculties are beginning to, you know, open up in this area of the brain. So brain has to be ready to receive the illumination, and therefore we must read Sri Aurobindo. Best way of preparing the brain. Because if we read Sri Aurobindo, all these capsules of light, it has to go through the brain. Eyes are so important. Eyes are mirror to what is happening inside the brain. Any change in the brain will reflect in the eye. It's so fascinating. So through the eyes, it goes to brain. And then from the brain, it gets transmitted to every other organ. And mother says, if you read it quietly, then slowly they will create brain cells needed for the understanding. So we have a very interesting clue here. Passingly, Sri Aurobindo is saying, why body and brain are important as them. That's how we see how this brain has developed. It's a whole story. I'm not going into it. It's an amazing story, evolution of the brain, and especially evolution of the visual cortex, the eye. It has, anyways, I'm holding back the temptations. Very, very amazing, fascinating. So this is how consciousness has released itself from the animal. Otherwise, animal is very strong. What changes took place? One is man stood erect. Second is he began to show the thumb. See, God anticipated, nature anticipated. One day there will be Facebook and he has to do likes this way. So what did nature do? Animals can't do it, you know. Poor fellows. We could do this. Down and up. No, we can do it. Animals can't do it. This one of the first thumb can hold. So he had already created provisions for mobile. What can we do? For remotes. See, for eating this way. So this is one change took place. The pelvis changed because human babies have to come out not fully formed. So the pelvis of women, human babies, after 2 years the fontanelle close, because otherwise they have to keep on growing. Unlike animal babies, they come out fully formed in that sense. The brain is fully formed. So they can stand up, they can very soon begin to learn. But human beings have to take time. Because of all these changes, they have to modify the passage. And the brain begins to develop. Very fascinating. And it develops something new. It's not about size. Size doesn't matter. We should get rid of this idea. So elephant brain has big size. But human brain is made in such a way that it can receive much more light. Of course, mental light. So as it grows, a new brain will evolve. And as the new brain evolves, even a new heart will evolve. Heart has to receive and contain the dynamic pulsation of the divine power. A new power of breath and life has to evolve. So all this is part of the program he is mentioning passingly. Equally, it can only be by developing a body, or at least a functioning of the physical instrument, capable of receiving and serving a still higher illumination, that he will rise above himself and realize, not merely in thought and in his internal being, but in life, a perfectly divine manhood. Here Sri Aurobindo uses the word realization in its ultimate sense. His usage of words is just fantastic. So what is realization? Realization means to make real. So, we have faith that divine is there. But if we have the experience, we can say we had a glimpse. But when it becomes something constant, any time we can come in contact with the divine at whatever level, maybe in the heart, maybe intuitively, maybe through vision and experience, then we say realized. But this realization is incomplete. So he says, realized when right in the body, then there is irrefutable. That's what the mother came for. And she would say, I would never accept anything is complete unless it expresses in the body. Her physical mother had told her, only what you see, touch, hear, that is true. She said, okay. I must see the divine with these eyes, hear with these eyes. Ultimate reality, supreme. Taste the divine. Smell the divine. Touch the divine with these hands. Okay. And she did that. That's a whole experience he talks about. So then only there can be true man. It's not enough that we realize within, but the body remains what it is. And if we cannot do it, otherwise, either the promise of life is cancelled. What is the promise of life? It is ascending. Its third layer of ascension is love. And fourth is fulfillment. So whatever it seeks is a promise. And it has to be cancelled. God has to say, sorry, I think I promised you more than what is possible. Its meaning annulled. An earthly being can only realize Sachidanand by abolishing itself, by abiding from it mind, life and body, and returning to the pure infinite. This is what yogis do. They have experience of the divine Sachidanand. Then slowly they have the experience time to time. Then they are dealing with the world. There is another operating system which operates. They are free. Because the moment you are beyond good and evil, you are a free being. Karma bandhan doesn't apply. Karma bandhan starts with dualities. And the ego ends with the dissolution of the ego and the dualities. After that, what you do doesn't stick. When you are surrendered to the divine, divine uses you. That's why Arjun is free. Even though he is engaged in killing the ghore karma. So, ultimately, what one would do, have these experiences, but at the end, one would finally withdraw, discarding it. It's a sheath which has been put to use. Now I go into merge with Sachidanand. That's how it has been the story so far. But the story so far is only an interval in which we have been having popcorns of philosophies. Use the word philosophical popcorns. No, nothing can happen. This is ultimate. We have found the ultimate. This popcorn. Sir, to use a Hindi phrase, picture abhi baki hai. The real story will start after the interval. Man is the interval of this great epic. Shobindu says that there is a need within the soul of man. The splendors of the surface never sate. For life and mind and their glory and debate are a slow prelude to a vaster theme, a preface to the epic supreme. So Shobindu says, hold on, don't run away from the movie. I know it may be gruesome to watch Shava after interval, but see it. You will have a glimpse of the victory that comes through all the struggle. So this is the second part which Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us. We know up till man somehow lodakte pudakte, stumbling, grumbling, complaining, we have reached a point where we can take off. But now the real story begins. But what are we told? Page 246. The body is the obscure burden that he cannot bear. Its obstinate material grossness is the obsession that drives him for deliverance to the life of the ascetic. And there he says, this is more of a modern tendency. And few lines below he says, most religions would say that there is a salvation somewhere. You get a ticket. If you change your name from, anyways, I'll not take the name. But if you change your name, if you profess, I belong to this creed. Okay, you got a ticket. Sir, where will it take me? Salvation. Where? In some heaven. After that, whatever you may do. As if after that, they are going to ask us, where is that ticket? Actually, there is no ticket granted. I believe at one point, somebody had actually given physical tickets. And there are people who buy it. That after your death, you can take this. Show it at the gate. Sir, we got a ticket. And for all you know, that heaven may be worse than earthly life. So, anyways, after all, earthly life is not that bad as we make it. You know, all the ascetics make it. There is beauty here. There is charm of danger. There is conquest. There is victory. There is struggle. There is challenge. There is love rising on the flaming wings of sacrifice. So much is there. There is wisdom pouring its rays. There is the avatars. This sacrifice which even the gods cannot imagine. I mean, there is a lot of beauty on earth, even material beauty. We can't just deny. After you see heaven and the description, somebody is playing all the time harp on cloud nine. I don't know which boring people want to go there. I mean, no challenge, nothing. How long can you hear? At least you want a variation. So earth, you have variety. You switch off harp, you switch on flute, you switch off lute, you switch on tabla. If you want to do nothing, you switch off everything. So earth is not that bad. But still, ascetic says ultimately. Why? Because disease and death. Okay, agreed. But there is other problem also. It's not about a spiritual person. Even life finds difficult to harmonize with matter. See, there is so much sometimes we want to do. But spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. Body. We can be somewhere and we want to come here. Very difficult. Body. Thought we can come, but that's a different thing altogether. Body, money, all these things come into play. So even for a life, wholesome life, to lead a happy life, you need a sound body. That's why in Ayurveda, Ayurveda is not a science of diseases. It is a science of life, Ayur. And its principle is, the rishis are praying that we want at least human beings should live a happy, healthy life. That's all. They're not asking for some very great spiritual transcendence. They should lead a happy, healthy life. So how the body itself can become immune to many things, develop its own capacity. So it's the ultimate preventive science. So they can always be complement. If still there is invasion, use allopathy. But Ayurveda is meant to promote health and well-being so that you can be happy. Its goal is happy human existence. It doesn't try for anything great or more, but even this much. So life cannot be happy if the body is weak. There are so many people who have always, you know, when I earn money, I'll do this, I'll do that. When they are 50, they have the money, but they cannot do this, they cannot do that. They are either incapable, or if they go and want to go to a big restaurant and eat their fill, they have to think about Digine gel and Gelusil, God knows what all they think, because body says no, you can't enjoy. We have the story of the man who became a vegetarian in old age, and his wife said, Ma ki kripa, grace of the Divine Mother, all my life I've kept telling you that become a vegetarian, but you didn't listen to me. Finally, alas, on Durga Puja you became a vegetarian. He says, oh, don't rub salt on my wounds. Actually, today you made meat because prasad, na? Durga Puja prasad, shakt. But I can't eat it. You see, I have no tooth left. See my predicament, how much I have suffered today. Perforce, I had to eat vegetarian food. And now you are coming and praising me. It makes me feel worse. See, this is what happens. One always remains young inside. That's so true. But the body, it does go through what it has to go through. So, even for life. Then when the mind comes in, again there is a problem. See, when the mind wants to concentrate, after some time people develop fatigue. When there is a fever, you can't, I mean, unless one is trained, developed. But mind can detach itself from the body completely. That's its power, capacity. Even if you have a problem, you can come out of it. Developed beings can do it. But still it is hampered. Beyond a point, you cannot think. One cannot read. Look at it. Reading Sri Aurobindo after one page. Many people say, you know, we feel sleepy. Oh, wonderful. So I say that, you know, take it that Sri Aurobindo is putting you to sleep. What more can one want? Sri Aurobindo is literally putting you to sleep. And then keep the book by the side and sleep. But the brain cannot. It gets fatigued. It's true. Body. And when it comes to spiritual life, then there is a complete dislocation. Spiritual life is a life aspiring for an ideal state. Perfect love, flawless happiness, the joy that knows no sorrow, the peace that is unconditional, the wisdom that is ever present like a revealing source of light. But the body, so it's so difficult to keep it all the time. So most saints and sages, they have a glimpse. And that is enough for them to do things. Then again, they have to withdraw time to time, alternating between silence and speech, etc. They figure out there is a way. And in any case, you have already seen the divine. Imagine after seeing Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. Everything is Madhuram. His voice is Madhuram. His walk is Madhuram. His body is Madhuram. His hands are Madhuram. His lips are Madhuram. All sweetness. After that, you know, when you come back to world and when people are sweet, you feel you are imitating. After tasting that sweetness, that's what's when Surdas' eyes came back. Radhama says, ask anything you want. He says, take away these eyes. Why? After seeing you, how can I see the world? You see the contrast? One who is, this many people experience when they come to Pondicherry. When they have not come, okay, we are going, chalo, we'll go, one of those places. They come. 1-2 hours is different. They stay for a few days. Then they have to go. Then they begin to, oh my God, they begin to feel sad even before they have to go. Kavita had, I will not go. I had to book a ticket is ready. I have to join Air Force. I have no choice. So I am saying, come on, don't do this now. I also don't want to go, but I have to go. It is a state. Why this happens? After seeing sun, even the big lamp appears as all the stars, all the lamps cannot create the beauty and glory of the single sun. And that is the reason why people continue to live here despite all the challenges. Life is extremely challenging at every level. Physical level, weather, everything. Psychological level. It's a very homogeneous, heterogeneous group at all levels of humanity. Represented money wise, everything. But you ask people, why are you still staying? As the mother said once humorously, when somebody was cursing the things here and this is bad, that is bad, somebody said, mother, you should tell him to leave. He said, try telling him. He will never leave because her touch is here. Just imagine, that is counterbalancing everything else. That's how it is. So for a spiritual person, we are so truly, I mean, it's fortunate that she has created now a physical space. Even when you come from far and breathe, at least you feel you can breathe. At least even as a physical space. And when one begins to live here, going out, she has said even Sri Aurobindo's atmosphere, she could feel miles away. And people are so silly, just as an aside. she said 2 nautical miles somewhere. Then disciple asked, mother, you said 10 miles. Now you are saying 2 nautical. I mean, understand the meaning of it. Then they are calculating how much is 2 nautical miles. This is called making truth a lie. That's not the important part. And people can feel it. You feel it the moment you enter into Pondicherry, and even earlier the fact that, you are in the taxi to Pondicherry. Why? So this is one glimpse. And for the spiritual man, it's so difficult. When you grow beyond a point, it's stifling, suffocating. I can only say, ghayal ki gati, ghayal jane aur na jane koi. When you have been wounded by the divine, then you can understand the love of the divine, because only he can soothe it, only he can heal it. You can't go anywhere else. So this is the challenge that spiritual life poses upon matter. And that's what Shivinda says, that the discord, last word on page 244, the discord deepens with the appearance of mind. For mind has its own quarrel with both life and matter. Life doesn't obey the mind. Mind says this philosophy according. Life doesn't live by a rule book. You make any rule, sure enough, life will say, I want to break it. That's how life operates. Life has its own way of discovering. This was this fact. When we went to AFMC, we were given, shown 20 places where you are not supposed to go. So everybody was, that time there was no Google search. Where are these places? Where are these places? Now people know where they should go. Because you have said you should not go. Eating the forbidden fruit. Life doesn't operate. So mind is at war with life. And body is at war. So mind brings another quarrel. And few lines below. When man awakens to an existence beyond mind, he carries yet farther this principle of discord. Mind, body and life are condemned as the trinity of the world, the flesh and the devil. Now mind also becomes a culprit. Why? Because spiritual life is so beatific. Don't we experience when thoughts are coming too much in the mind? Oh my God, I wish the mind was quiet. Now mind also becomes a problem. Poor mind. You see, so what does the spiritual man say? Drop the mind, drop the heart, drop this life, drop the body. Finish off your karmas, whatever theory. At the end, chal khusro ghar aapne, ab rehna bhai videsh. This is foreign country, this is night, let's go back to home. And yes, there are partial victories. He speaks of that, well, life does prolong, you know, it challenges death. And it turns death into a process of life. Mind also pushes itself, pushes matter, pushes life. But Sri Aurobindo does not, he's not happy with that, because he wants the complete victory. Nothing short of complete victory. No more partial victory, for the reasons as we have seen. Partial victories have been there, but that doesn't solve the enigma of life, the problem of life. It doesn't answer why creation. It doesn't solve the riddle of the Sphinx. And therefore, on page 248, before we close the first session, we must find out the reality of matter. Just as seeking the fundamental knowledge, we have found out the reality of mind and soul and life. So the reality of mind is supermind. Reality of life is conscious force. We have already read that earlier. And reality of soul, it comes from the bliss world, which he'll reveal further. But where does matter come from? What is matter? If we have to change matter, we must understand matter. And that's what we'll continue after 10 minutes of break.